Christian greetings to all. And in the name of Jesus, it increases my love for you as I stand here before you and all the visitors here, being Frank Schaft and my sister Mary Ellen. And it's kind of a surprise for me. I'm grateful for that. Thank you for being here with us. Not that I'm here, I just love to do more visiting too, with Galen's away from Kansas and all that. We're all here because God put us here on this earth. And my thoughts go a lot of directions, but anyhow, I know that the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians said that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he said he has called us. I'm going to have to turn to that even. But anyhow, blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And we just came through Thanksgiving. And I think we were all so grateful and so thankful for God's love and for the salvation that he brought to us and the hope of glory when we die. And but what I was going to say is, according to as he has chosen, that's the word I wanted. Every one of us here are chosen. And he says even before the foundation of the world, it was long before we knew anything about anything. And he has chosen us to, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know, and he goes on there, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Remember 2 weeks ago when Brother John was speaking to us about being in Christ. Being in Christ. And we can turn that around in having Christ in us. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. And so he says he has predestinated us according to the good pleasure of his will. Now that's why it, I don't know how you feel when we make mistakes and we mess up or something like that. It hurts us. It grieves us because I'm sure it grieves the Holy Spirit. But he says he did this, he brought us to him because of his good pleasure. Do we really understand that? The good pleasure, the blessings. Our prayers are a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. And then, of course, like I was thinking, you know, we had this Thanksgiving week. Of course, I suppose most of us worked up till Thursday, and then Friday morning started again. But anyhow, we're so grateful. We're so thankful for our adoption into the family of God. And then this morning, of course, I was with the youth, and that also is family, and I'm not. I don't want to excuse anyone or exclude anyone, but I was reminded of some of my experiences coming through life in this community, and of course, it was one of our grandsons and one of someone else's special child, and they are all special to us. There's no one. We don't make any differences. My thoughts went back to the first time that I went with the ministry into the little prayer room in the old church house. Back in 1973, you might think that's quite a long time ago. Well, it doesn't seem long. But I remember it was quite a learning curve, like our son Samuel uses that expression quite often. Something new. When I went into the prayer room with the ministers the first time, we had Chris Byler, old seasoned minister, and he had some very good advice for this young boy that went in with the ministry. And then a little later, when we started the instruction class, that was a new experience. And for some reason, this morning my mind went to that. And I'm sure nobody else could tell me who it was. But number one, the first one on the list was John Nisley. And the next one was Norman D. Yoder. Did you remember that?
I remember the instruction.
Yeah. And, of course, David Wengard and Barbara Byler and Carolyn Yoder. And I was thinking this morning of instructing, of course, Tyler and LaDonna, the other one, I forget her name. What's the other? Violet Martin. They're just starting in. They're just getting in. I told them, I'm sure they made a commitment, and they were drawn to the Lord. They seen that there was things in their lives that needed to be changed. And quite often, questions come to the minds of these youth. What does God expect from me? How is this going to be? I am a Christian. I am now a Christian. But I need to grow. Peter's last phrase, last verse in his second epistle is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. After he writes these two epistles, and he says in there, and my thoughts went to, as us older people, sometimes we need to be reminded. And I'm going to read some of that later on. How is God pleased with me, with my life? And just how does he evaluate me as a person? Well, I can tell you, you are precious. You are precious. All of us are precious, old or young. And again, let us be reminded that we were chosen of him to be holy and without blame before him in love. And our love is something that we want to broaden out. And without respect of persons, continue to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul and strength. And to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we have been instructed, as a congregation, we've been instructed to lay things down, forget, and forgive, and let nothing come back up. It's not like the old Indian, he repented, I guess, I'm not sure all it is. But anyhow, he buried the hatchet, but he left the handle stick out. because he might need it. And, you know, God has, if we can use this, God has told us that he will forgive our iniquities. He will forgive and not remember them, put them in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. And I think in our thinking, we're allowed to think that he probably put a no fishing sign on there. And so how are we doing with this thing of loving and forgiving and maintaining that very attitude in our mind concerning every brother and sister that's here? So how are we doing? We need to be reminded at times, and these are questions that come to youth possibly. Should a Christian be tempted with the temptation that I sometimes face? What is the answer to that question? Well, you know, Brother, appreciated Luane's devotional, and sometimes we do fail. But God is interested in bringing you back. Should we be tempted? We live in an evil world, he said, and I believe that. We live in a world where the satanic powers are threatening to take over. And even our church here is to the, according to their ideas, we are threatened. And why is it somebody told me yesterday that there's this ISIS deal? I don't want to scare anybody, but they told me there's about a dozen different stations where they're training. One is in Missouri, and one is in Tennessee, and one is somewhere else, and I don't know. I said, well, God will take care of that. Don't worry. You know, God will take care of it. But now, we might be involved some of these days and years and whatever, but we are in Christ. We are, if we get killed, you know, Peter says, it be a blessing, or what is the word? I can't get it. A joy to suffer for Christ. I'm not sure how joyous that's going to be in a physical sense, but as we adhere to the Word of God and to His promises, He will take care of us. So the temptations we face are coming from our flesh, what is called the old man. And then another question that sometimes comes up is, in my relationship with my friends and neighbors, brethren and sisters in the church, husband or wife, satisfactory to the Lord? Are these things satisfactory? It's good to ponder those questions. How are we doing? And we want to please God. We want to live right. We want to be faithful. We want to be ready to meet Him. And of course, meet Him we will. Meet Him we will. And you know, we want to please God. And sometimes we have to just talk real nice to other people that we can't please them. We just can't please other people, you know. And we talk, but we want to please God above all and live right and be faithful and be ready to go to Him when we die. How am I accomplishing this goal? And so, as we continue on in our life, we want to be a good influence to others. And let us live in peace. We want to live in peace with everyone. Peace with others. Some people have just more of a hard time living in peace. with the others. But with our hearts, when we come to God, we want to, as youth, these youth are tender, young, but we want to lead them into the right way. I believe the parents have been teaching. And sometimes, and I remember well myself, when I was young, I thought I knew a little bit better things. Some things I knew a little bit better than Dad did. But nevertheless, he was still my dad. And we strove, we wanted to, but sometimes we failed. Well, there were some consequences to that as well. But so it is in our spiritual walk of life. We want to be pure. And we want to be a good influence to others and not a wrong influence. And so, my goodness, I see time is going on. So I want to read some take some of these lessons out of the Bible here. My book is falling apart. In Timothy, the Apostle Paul, he reminds us of things that I want to share with you today. If I can find my way through here. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to read some here. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy mother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, the grandmother and then the mother, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Having that power is something that will help us to answer these questions that I was bringing forth. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. We need not fear. God is in control. But we need to have that true, righteous, and godly fear in our hearts. And we can go through this world, even though it's not really not really inviting, but some of the things that the devil wants to tempt us with, and his subtlety and so forth. We need that power of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. The afflictions of the gospel. Are there things that the gospel really afflicts us with? Well, anyhow, Paul was in prison at this time, and he was encouraging young Timothy. stand fast. It says here, I'll just read that verse 8 again. And be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. And I think you've heard me talk about this quite often, maybe. He had a purpose for every one of us. And may God help us to accomplish that purpose for which he has brought us into the world. A purpose, his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. There it comes again, before the world began. God knew we were going to be here today. He knows our beginning, our end from the beginning. But is now manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That is as far as I figured to read in that area. But I wanted to move over in chapter 2. In verses 14 and 15, where he says, he instructs Timothy, the young man, and when I was like 29 and 30, I was ordained when I was 30 years old. And I just really appreciated Paul's instructions to Timothy. I felt like a Timothy myself, a young man, just learning what's going on in the ministry and in the churches and so forth. But here Paul says to Timothy, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not with words of no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so, as I said earlier, remembering, or to be stirred up in our minds and remember things that we were taught and are taught, are being taught and being reminded and reminded again and again. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so, Titus, Paul does some of the same things, teaching these young men and to keep in mind what all God is asking for us to do, not according to our own will, but according to the will of God. Turn with me now to Peter in his epistles, also the writer in the Hebrews. He makes mention of remembering or being reminded again of things. Excuse me. In 2 Peter, chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them which have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace, peace, and be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, and patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For he goes on to say, if these things be in you and abound, that means if these things be in you and they're growing, they're abounding, like Paul says to the Thessalonians, and you know, it's their love. He appreciated their love that they had, but he says, may it abound more and more. And I say this to myself and to everyone here, that our love for God and for Jesus and our fellow men just abound more and more. And where was I at? Verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But that he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. What a promise! For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. We still need to be reminded to continue on in him, to be in Christ Jesus. Yea, I think, in verse 13, yea, I think it meet, so long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Do you feel stirred up? I hope we do. Stirred up to where we want to read this more often. And says on, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, having as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. In remembrance, yes. And then, of course, excuse me. Peter goes on in the last chapter here. He says, and I'm going to read some out of the third chapter. There's many other things. Just sometime when you got time, or take time and read it. And read it over and over again. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. You know, it's really interesting that a lot of people do not believe in God. I appreciated the songs this morning as well. And because all we need to do to see God is look around in the creation and how things grow. The wheat fields are so nice and green, and we know that God is doing all this. So, for this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Yes, that world perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. Remember, there's things going to happen here. I don't know whether we'll live to see it or be here when it does, but there's things going to happen. The heavens are being kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Time is nothing with the Lord, is it? I think that's what he's saying. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Oh, I'm so grateful that he is long-suffering, and that he has so much mercy and forgiveness. His heart is just opened to our cry. And so we just want to think about these things. He has promised, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then he says, and this includes all of us, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the Lord, of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, here he is again. He is our God. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Won't it be wonderful there? But we can enjoy life here in Christ Jesus. We can enjoy our brothers and sisters and our youth. We appreciate you all, and we love you. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent to be found, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. After we've lived a long time, and we still remember that he brought us into the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, walking that way, having a good life, and looking forward more and more as we get older to that transition, that time when our address will be changed from earth to heaven. Won't it be wonderful there? And he says here further, an account, the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. That, I left a word out there, that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul. Now, Peter and Paul were on the same page, and they were just preaching the word and encouraging, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Now, we have people that do rest the scriptures, but it's to their own instruction, destruction, if I say it right. It's twisting the scriptures to what they think, rather than taking the scriptures and trying to go around in their own ways. Ye therefore, beloved, he says here, knowing ye know these things, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away in the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. That's happening. People are falling away. People are taking their own route. They don't like the things that the churches have, and they want to have their own way. They twist the scriptures to suit them. And of course, it is here he says, beware that we do not go that route and fall from our own steadfast. And then John would say that we lose out, lose the things that we have gained. And so may we truly remember and think on these things. And then the last verse that Peter has here is, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. And so God will help us through this growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord, in grace, in faith, and in virtue, in knowledge, and by how much the stronger grace is in us, the grace of God, and by so much more steadfast we shall continue to walk with him. As the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. So we certainly want to follow on to know the Lord, labor to know him more clearly and more fully, and to know more of Christ and know him better and the purpose that he has for us. So we want to be more like him. We want to be more conformed to Christ Jesus, who has loved us, who has shed his precious blood on Calvary's cross and has redeemed us. So what more can I say? The hour is here to close. But we want to remember these things, these instructions from the Holy Word, and live it out in our everyday walk of life. Love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as ourselves. Thank you for your prayers. Let's kneel.